Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armore.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and thank you for bearing with us over this two-week hiatus when we learned, contrary to popular belief, Casey is the harder-working Malshine.
Well, now that is questionable because she is the harder-working Malshine. Not only did she pod throughout the family's trauma, but I do think it's harder to watch The Bachelor than anything from my experience.
That is fair.
That is actually why she's the hardest worker. Not because she worked through last week, but actually because The Bachelor is, it's labor to watch.
Yeah, I can't even do that. And I watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which is garbage swirling around in a toilet bowl. Yep. I did, just to give myself a little credit, I did have to fit two transatlantic flights in there.
Right. Okay. So tell the people where you were in your own words.
I was in New Jersey and Pennsylvania because my grandma died.
Right.
Eileen Gettick, she was a Sagittarius sun, and she died right around the time of the Leo moon, which is really appropriate because she really was the queen of the jungle. She was the monarch of our family. She was the matriarch.
Oh my God. And she's like, yeah, she's basically the queen.
Yeah.
Your life.
She must have had Leo in her chart.
I mean, I love this. And so, yeah, that's where Molly was. I'm sorry that I outed you. So Molly actually did the Zoom moonual with her family from Casa de Malshine in New Jersey. She did take two transatlantic flights. It's why that's, actually.
Yeah. What? If I hadn't done the moonual, we would have been able to get a podcast out. That's another true thing.
That could be right. Except that it was essential that you were at the Zoom moonual, not because I care that you're at the moonual, even though I think it made the evening, because what's so funny. So Molly always comes to the moonuals with a podcast, with a PowerPoint presentation, but because she was flying, she didn't get to make one.
So I just rapped a little, you know, I just talked about Leo's, talked shit. And then Todd Chapman came on.
To go right after, the only time Todd's ever gone right after Molly. Todd arrived at the Zoom moonual with, tell him,
a PowerPoint about Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's a Leo and Todd is leader of the pro-life movement.
I mean, you cannot ask for better group mind telepathy than the players of the moonual, okay? There is more group mind. The fact that Todd showed up with a PowerPoint of a celebrity, the one time you didn't, was so deeply satisfying. I can't even describe. Like, how did he know? Also, you look gorgeous. A little funeral action does wonders for you. Very, very good.
Thank you. I stopped taking birth control like two nights ago. And I feel like that might be why I am a little cranky. I think hormones are going over the speed limit right now. But I think the face thins out immediately. I stopped because I always have a pooch when I'm on birth control, and it's annoying.
Yeah, when I was on birth control many moons ago, when I stopped taking it, I lost 10 pounds like immediately.
Amazing. Can't wait for that.
Yeah,
but I'm really annoyed because also I found this study that I don't know if I told you about this. I'm like repeating this like I'm fucking Paul Revere and everyone needs to know, like, the British are coming. But I found this study that if you are working out and you're on birth control, hormonal birth control, it can inhibit your muscle gains by 40 to 60%.
What?
So I've been doing crazy, like, strength work for, like, 4-5 months and it could have been inhibited 40 to 60%. So I said, okay, screw it. Like, I'll take the smaller boobs if I can get a little more swole, because that's the whole point of working out.
No, you want to see the gains. You want to see the fucking gains. And side note, we do know that according to Spirit Baby Lady, your babies are knocking down the uterine door. So I would just say, yes, you're going to want to download. I happen to use the Flow app, F-L-O, and you can track your period and it's very accurate and will tell you the days that you can and cannot get pregnant.
Ah, yes. The rhythm method is what we call it in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And it's the reason why my parents both have 5 and 6 siblings.
Okay. So it is not 100% accurate, but I want to say at the time that your parents were born, they didn't have the app.
I named this recording session Scamuary, even though it's not a pun on the month that it currently is. So we're talking about scammers, and we're mostly going to talk about Anna Delvey, I guess, the side of the Tinder swindler. But I wanted to, I mean, there are scams everywhere right now. Why? I mean, we'll get into why. We'll get into why astrologically, because first we need to get into the key players.
Because there is a reason why, and I cannot wait to disclose.
Yeah. So, okay. Have you been seeing, because I know everyone's going to be wondering about this, have you been seeing all of this chatter that the queen died? Because it turned into this huge trending topic, like on Twitter. Oh, it was all anyone was talking about last night. So, okay, they must have edited the caption, because what it had said before was, sources close to the royal kingdom notified us exclusively that # Queen Elizabeth has passed away. There is no royal kingdom. That's not
I was just going to say, like, what are they talking about? Like Disneyland?
Right. They changed it to Royal Palace, which still isn't anything. Right. And then it says she was scheduled to attend the wedding of British Vogue editor Edward Enninful, but was found dead. Story developing. So there is no way in hell that the queen would be attending the wedding of the British Vogue editor, because she hasn't really gone to a wedding of someone not related to her in like a decade, from what I can tell. I was trying to find her. Yeah, she doesn't go to weddings anymore. Plus, she has COVID this week.
Right.
It's like you guys couldn't even
She's actually going and infecting people at the Vogue. She's a super spreader event. The Vogue funeral becomes super spreader event because the queen got out of her deathbed to arrive at the occasion.
Right. And then he said, so then the guy, Jason Lee, who I just learned about today, he posted on his personal Instagram regarding the Queen Notes app, obviously, regarding the Queen Elizabeth story. 1, I've never lied. 2, I've never been wrong. 3, I trust my sources. 4, I have yet to see an official statement from the palace saying otherwise. 5, I'll be at the Donda concert tonight with Ye.
Wait, this is hilarious. Him doubling down on my sources wouldn't lie, but she's still alive is unbelievable.
Right. And it's like, bro, the palace didn't deny it yet because your account is irrelevant.
It's right, like, there's nothing to deny. They don't know who you are. This has not been a blip on their radar.
Right.
And well, all you can look at for all the evidence in the world of she's alive.
Right.
Nobody has to say anything. She's alive.
And a bunch of royal reporters last night were like, this is not true, by the way. And everyone was like ragging on this guy for saying royal kingdom and things that made no sense. It's also funny because the idea that if she was supposed to go to Edward Enninful's wedding, which I'm sure she was not.
Right. Not. I got to say, for all the things that she is, it doesn't seem like she's big time into fashion.
No. 100% no. She like all
she
of her
more lipstick.
Right. Hell no. So there's no way she was ever going to that. If she was and she died, they wouldn't have told him that's why she's not coming. They would have been like, right, she has COVID, because that's already in the news. Like, they wouldn't have been like, oh, the queen died, she's not coming anymore, and then never announce it.
It's also a really funny thing to think that they were so like, you know, bamboozled by like, how do we get out of this? Like, let's just tell them the queen died. Like, right. Why would that be a better response than she has COVID?
Right. It would never, ever, ever happen. And like, so then to this morning, it's like, okay, it's been a full day. There's no way that it's true. Right. Like, even if you thought there was a slim chance that it was true, like, there is a protocol in place for when she does die, they're going to get the news out as soon as humanly possible so that something like that doesn't happen. They're not going to be like just like staring at her body for 24 hours. Like,
how do we how do we tell them that the old lady queen died?
Right.
When she's on her way out, this is not going to be breaking news.
It is going to be huge.
It'll be breaking news, but it's not going to be like, what?
Right.
She died? It's like, yeah, she's ancient.
Yeah, exactly. So then a fake Twitter account called Hollywood UL. So they tweeted something like, and it's got 5,000 followers. And the only thing it's ever tweeted is links to the Hollywood Unlocked website.
Oh.
So they tweeted like, sorry, we made a mistake. This isn't true. Then I retweeted it and it disappeared. And then the editor of the website, Jason Lee, he tweets from his account, that's a fake account. It's not real. I still stand by the story. He said that the Hollywood Unlocked account on Twitter was fake.
Oh my God. This is all like so like subterranean. Like this is like trolls trolling trolls, what are you saying?
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like, why was this person working for months and months to build up a fake Hollywood Unlocked Twitter account just in order to repeat the story Hollywood Unlocked had posted on their verified Instagram account?
That is like, so funny. Like, yeah, like what a weird, I guess like we got to hope that there's like some big reveal where there's like, oh, this is what it was ultimately for. You know what I mean? Like maybe there is something up his sleeve, but otherwise I just feel like what we've come across is the Alex Jones of Hollywood.
Yeah. I mean, I think this guy's a scammer and he is, he's like, I'm saying it and I don't give a shit. And the thing that's really funny is like, she is sort of looking frail lately. So I feel like if it happens in the next couple months, this guy's going to be like, I told you.
First of all, she's been looking frail a couple years now. Okay. Second of all, again, when she dies, there's not going to be an I told you so moment if she dies 6 months later. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you can't be like, yeah, I told her she was dead. It's like, dude, you posted about this, you know, pre-mortem.
Yeah. Like you can't just say it and then eventually when it happens, be right, like,
that's like, you can't like make a bet on the queen's death and not have a date. You can't just be like, I told her she was going to die. It's like, well, everybody is, man.
Yeah. And everyone's just trying so, like, every legit news outlet is trying so hard not to write about this because it legitimizes him. And he's really smart for doing that.
So, yeah, you know, this is what I want to know. What do you think so I didn't even think about it in terms of scamming. I was just literally thinking personality disorder or, you know, delusional on some level. But actually, you're saying that it's a scam. And what do you think? He's getting paid for clicks for advertising or something?
No, he is scamming his way into getting more clicks. Yeah. Just to build his public profile.
God.
Because he wants to be the next Shade Room. He's on the way there already. And this is like a thing that's big enough to get him on other people's radar. I had no idea who this guy was.
That is so stupid.
Until yesterday, you know? And then like his name was trending on Twitter and he shares the name with someone from the show My Name is Earl. So the trending topic was My Name is Earl. And then the underneath it was like a blogger who shares the name Jason Lee has gotten hot water, but it's not the actor from My Name is Earl. It's so stupid. It's
oh my God.
So many levels of stupid.
I would love to have him on the pod.
I think he's too big for us now. Maybe yesterday before he announced the queen's death, not today.
2 days ago, we had a shot.
Okay. You wanted to talk about Anna Delvey, Inventing Anna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about it because, you know, for me, I watch a Shondaland, you know, docu-narrative series about a criminal mastermind who I happen to completely empathize with and really like her, even though it's debatable whether she's a sociopath or not, but I like her. And I pulled up her chart. Number one, there's like no coverage of her chart. Maybe there is more now, but when, you know, we had to pause for death. Now we're back. But, you know, so maybe there's more now. But at the time, there was like no information out about it. And so when I started doing my own research on trying to figure out what, you know, what her birth info was, I found it and I looked at her chart. I go, wow, this is very, very interesting because it is very much not only a masterclass in a certain sign's particular energy, but it also is directly related to the Pluto return of the United States, which we have just officially began yesterday.
Okay, let me explain who she is for people who might not know.
How could you not know? But okay, you're scamming yourself if you're not up on this. But yeah, let them know.
This is the theme of the episode. Who's scamming the scammers? Who's the scammy? Who's scamming what? What's scamming who? I love it. So, okay. The Anna Delvey story hit the scene in 2018 when this woman wrote for Vanity Fair about how she got swindled by this other woman who she knew as Anna Delvey. She was like, I became friends with her. She was living in this swanky hotel. She always had the coolest bags. She was really mysterious. She did this, this, and this. And then finally, like, it all came to a head when this woman went to a hotel in Morocco with Anna, and Anna kept being like, oh, put it on my card, put it on my card, put it on my card. They were leaving the hotel, and suddenly Anna's card did not work. So this woman had to put $62,000 on her Condé Nast corporate card.
Whoa.
So I'm coming, and then it emerges. There were all these different investigations then going on with reporters and everything wanting to write about her. My approach to this story is obviously from a media background, because I'm like, first of all, who had a media company corporate credit card with a $62,000 credit limit in 2018? Everyone I knew.
Totally.
Everyone I knew was getting laid off for media companies in 2018. Wild that this woman had this. I'm happy for her. Second of all, as a person who worked in New York media for 5 years, I completely empathize with wanting to get a free trip to Morocco, because as a media person, you get paid shit.
Right.
And you traffic in free things.
Right. But I don't think that's what we said. You got to get a job so that we can get more products to try.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I don't think I would have taken it all the way to Morocco. Like, I would have been like, I'm going to have to sing for my supper in some way if someone's taking me to North Africa or like anywhere.
You think you really would have been like, no, there's something weird about this?
Yeah. If someone was trying to take me outside of the tri-state area, I would have been like, for free? No right. one likes me that much. No right, one likes right, me that right. much. Well, I would, you know what I mean? I would be like, this is fishy. Wouldn't you?
No, I think I guess my problem is if you're like, hey, let's go to Morocco, I would be like, yeah, send me the ticket. Like, that's why I like, yours doesn't count as a destination wedding because like actually you're in the UK and Nick is of Ireland, but in general, if you invite me to a wedding that's like a specific, like go come with me in Costa Rica and everyone's gonna fucking party in the jungle together, I'm like, great. Unless if you're paying, I'm in. If you're not, fuck you. How dare you? I if I'm invited somewhere like that, I expect to be paid for, actually.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. I think it's because my mom instilled in me from a young age, like, don't overstay your welcome. Don't take things that people don't want to give you, kind of thing. So I feel ashamed of everything I get. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And so I have the opposite where it's like, I was a little princess and it was like, you know, we welcome grand gestures and travel is the greatest gift because it creates memories together.
Right. I could stand to be a little more entitled. But anyway.
Certainly.
So Inventing Anna is the new Shondaland joint on Netflix. Anna Delvey was paid $320,000 for her life rights to make this show, which honestly, she should have got more money than that.
Yeah.
So are you a Shondaland fan?
Well, I'm a Shonda fan.
And by which we mean Shonda Rhimes, obviously, is the showrunner behind this show, Bridgerton, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, right? That's what it's called, Scandal?
Yeah, Scandal, yeah. How to Get Away with Murder, the Oprah Neverland, you know, whatever it was called.
What's the Oprah Neverland?
Oprah Neverending Story.
Okay. Oh, yes, yes. So she is a prolific producer and showrunner and writer.
She also did, was it the... What was it called? The incarceration doc, like right during the Black Lives Matter
protest. Oh, that was really good.
Great. So I'm a fan.
12th Amendment or something. Yeah.
What'd you say?
It was like 19th Amendment or something like that.
Yeah, like 13th Amendment, I think, or whatever the amendment was. Obviously, we need to watch it again. But
very good.
Cut this part. Oh, racist. But it's like,
it's okay not to remember the
amendment. I don't remember which amendment it was that did it. Abolition. Okay. It's still a problem. It didn't work. We need a new amendment. Okay. But anyway, so I'm a huge fan of hers, you know, film student to film student. You got two of the greatest here. Like, I think that in terms of like who she, like, in the same way that, like, I don't love every Shyamalan movie, but, like, I will see every Shyamalan movie because I have a great respect for him as an auteur. I feel the same way about Shonda. In general, I feel the same way. I know you don't like her. I love Lena Dunham. I will watch anything Lena Dunham writes and directs because I'm just curious.
Don't.
I do. I love her.
Well, I'm going to hate watch everything she does because, which means I'm her biggest fan.
Right. And also, right. I jealous watch, if anything.
Right. That's what it is. It's jealous watch. And I did meet her once and she was very, very nice. And
I think she's cool.
Yeah. We're all jealous. I'm jealous of her.
Yeah.
So I never got into any of the Shonda shows because I didn't have basic cable for the last like 15 years.
Oh, yeah. So I never watched Grey's Anatomy. That was like her big first hit. And I haven't watched all of them, but I absolutely loved Scandal.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I know I feel like the biggest hater in the world because I'm always hating on everything, mm-hmm. but I'm a Capricorn. You have to understand this.
Capricorn Taurus, like only the best from all.
I thought they should have put, even though I just said Anna Delvey was underpaid for her life rights, they should have put more money into the production value and less money into the friggin' life rights because the wigs were off. The fashion was so off.
You think the fashion was off? See, I don't know about it, but to me, that was one of the things that like surprised me about Anna, where I was like, oh, because that was one of the takeaways I got. Like, oh, part of the way that she even like got away with this was because she was always like dressed the part.
But that wasn't what it said in the original stories. In the original reporting, it was like she kind of looked like shit, but she had nice bags. Oh, and that's sort of a rich girl trademark. Like when you meet someone who's genuinely rich, they have a rumpled look, you know?
Right,
like
right.
when you're in the Alps and you see the girls who have the perfect skin tight, hot pink outfit, you're like, okay, she is on the job, you know?
Wow, yeah. With
like an old Russian man. And when you see the girls who have like beat up kind of ski suits and they still have perfect skin and perfect hair, but it's not camera ready, you're like, those are the real rich people. So
wow, I hope when I'm walking around Quick Check in my reindeer sweatpants and my oversized space trash tees, they think, wow, she's so lax. She must be so rich.
Because you are rich. You emanate richness.
Right. Like, because I allow myself to look sloppy.
Just and you're not worried that people aren't going to think you're rich because you know you are.
Right. Well, there was that funny line in the show where they were like, Anna's face was completely ugly, peasant-like. That's how you knew she was rich. Because like she was getting away with doing so many things as a sort of not that attractive person. That's how you know she was rich. Because if you don't have to change your looks to get ahead, then you must be rich.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we've all met that sort of dumpy rich girl
who's
miserable and does and gets whatever she wants. And like that's
I can think of like, specifically people are popping in my head where I'm like, lol, I can't wait to send her the screenshots later and we can fucking roast them.
No.
How ugly those rich girls are.
It's again going to be a jealousy roast because I don't get anything I want. I don't get – I'm bad at it.
The listeners of the Space Trash Podcast you want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that bothered me. I was like, she was not this petite, little, cute, well-coiffed girl.
Right. I thought Julia looked so cute.
Right. She was a hungover mess. That was what my mental image was. I was like, she is a rich, hungover mess, you know? And like, that would be more believable to me as a person working in media who would love to glom onto a rich girl. Right?
Well, 1,000%. And I also think that the relationship between her and that girl, Rachel, that wrote that breaking story makes a lot of sense. When I Googled who Rachel is actually, like she is perfect in this role of herself because she's actually like very attractive. Like she's very like Jewish hot. Like it's a certain type. Like I know it's like, but she's hot and she's little and she's skinny. And it's like, she is so the perfect Vanity Fair, like, entry level person, and she would love to be friends with a super rich, like socialite influencer who also low key wasn't as pretty as she was. Like, it's a perfect
pair. Right. Right. She's like, not only
is she's so pretty.
She's like, not only is this girl bankrolling my lifestyle that I just stumbled into by meeting her, I'm also prettier than her. So right. It's like jackpot.
Best case scenario.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every dumpy rich girl needs like a hottie to kind of be the honeypot so that they can get into more rich shit.
It's called a wingman, but I love thinking of it as the honeypot.
Yeah. So, okay. I I also took a lot of issues with the way that they, so I thought this whole story, what I wanted to see when they said they were doing a fictional narrative series on this, I was like, I want to be transported back to the late 2010s, because even though it was only like 5 years ago or less, it was such a moment, especially in New York. There was so much VC money rolling around. There were all these free events. You had no idea who was rich, who was poor. I really felt like they could have done a much better job sort of representing that part of it and just getting into that scene and the music and the styles.
I'm so shocked that they didn't use, I thought the music was so weird. Like, she's like sitting there in jail and it's the song behind her, like, manifest, manifest, manifest. It's like, Shonda, just use fucking How Bizarre.
Someone tweeted, like,
Barbie Girl, give me Barbie Girl.
Yeah, well, it's late 2010s, not 2000s.
Oh, when was Barbie Girl? Earlier?
That was like 1998.
Ah, man, I'm dating myself. Okay, that, how about Shake That Love, Your Topper?
Yeah, that. Yeah. Someone was like, she should be listening. I forget who it was on Twitter. I'm sorry for not crediting you, but someone was like, she should be listening to Lana Del Rey, not Megan Thee Stallion.
Right. Because
Megan Thee Stallion didn't exist yet. And they had all these like sort of hot girl summer songs. And it was like, no, that was not the vibe of Anna Delvey. She was not channeling hot girl summer. She was channeling rich, sad girl who's your heart sort of went out to her, and you also would accept the free ride that you got along the way. And it just,
even a Kelly Clarkson, anger ballad would have been better.
You're still not hitting the area.
Was it, what year was that?
That was like 2006.
Fuck. I am. Wow. Pisces season's got me in a nebulous swirl of song times.
It's fine. It's fine. But yeah, I just thought that like, the songs, the art direction, everything was a little bit
Lifetime. What was your problem with the art direction?
The fashion was so off. Mm-hmm. The clothes were so off. The wigs, like, it just, it wasn't right. I hate how every female reporter and journalist in a TV show is not allowed to brush their hair and has to wear ugliest outfits in the world.
So attractive in general. I like Anna Chlumsky. I have since the My Girl days. But boy, was she difficult to watch this entire show.
Yes, she kept making that face. It was like every female journalist is not like a sexually frustrated, angry shrew, you know? And if you Google the real woman, Jessica Pressler, who that character is based on, who also wrote the story that Hustlers is based on.
Oh, wow. She's
chic.
Wow, that's good. She's an interesting character. And she's beautiful.
Yeah, she's at the top of her game. She's beautiful. Like, that's really interesting to me. Not like, okay, I had a failure and I need to redeem myself. Whoa. Like,
yo, that's a good impression, Mal.
Really?
You just nailed. When you watch back, I want you to honor. That was a great impression.
Thank you.
There's something about like the way you just did her mouth. Because that was watching her face with all those close-ups. It was like her mouth was doing like.
And I can't even do the forehead because I pay to not be able to do the forehead.
Right. I was so watching that show. I was like, damn, I do need Botox because I was so triggered by the wrinkles.
I think it was a big reason why I went for Botox for the first time in like 6 months
afterwards.
Yeah. I was like, not for me.
I'm not going to Anna Chlumsky this shit.
I'm not an actor. No one needs to know what my emotions are. I can keep them on the inside.
I love it. I actually think Botox for comedy is probably really good because it's like you can say like emotional things and you just end up looking deadpan.
Right. I can finally be like the deadpan Aubrey Plaza comic that I tried to be the first time I did like the first 10 open mics that I did.
I love Botox. And then you can write it off as an expense because it's for the stage.
Okay. We're going to have to circle back to that when we have our business plan meeting.
Put it on the agenda.
Yeah. But so I also, the way they portrayed her as a character was really annoying to me just because we never get to see a chic hot journalist unless it's after a makeover scene. Like, some journalists are chic and hot. Like, the coolest journalists who I like follow on Twitter, Instagram are also chic. It's not about being pretty. It's about you have style because you're an aesthete. Like, you are an art, like, you're a writer, you're artistic.
Well,
you're
not gonna like a writer. It's like, sure, you could also be a writer and like live in your house in Vermont and grow your beard out as a woman and no one would fucking care or know. But like, right.
But that's a vibe.
To be a beat reporter, like a culture reporter, which means that you're out on the scene, would be crazy not to look awesome. How do you get people to talk to you if you don't look awesome?
Right. She's wearing like head to toe H&M with like plastic combat boots. No. At this point in her career that she's writing New York Mag cover stories. No.
100. Well, and what that's even like a compliment, what you just described. Like, we're actually talking about like, you know, like floral caftans and like, I mean, it was just ugly shit.
Yeah, it was terrible. And it was not, didn't reflect real life. The other thing that really drove me insane is that she goes into her editor's office and she's like, look, there's a socialite who's stealing money from people, blah, blah, blah. And the editors are like, no, we're not doing that story. No editor in the history of history has turned down a story about a socialite acting like an idiot. Never in the history of the world have they said no one wants to read about that. Everyone wants to watch a woman fall, let alone a rich, socially connected woman.
Yeah. Right. That's always, not a new thing.
Always a story. Every time, no matter what. It's like when I worked at The Observer and I said to my boss, can we stalk the Kardashians and the Hamptons? And he said the Hamptons is always a yes, go. Like, oh, there's certain that are always a yes, especially if you're writing for a New York weekly that caters to a certain audience. Who doesn't want to read about a socialite scamming people?
Legitimately, it's like, that's why, like, yeah, that was a part of the show where it was like, she got to have that big, like, triumphant moment where it's like, this put her on the map, this put us on the map, whatever. And it's like, first of all, how did you not know? Like, it's just like, it was like a no shit moment. Like, oh, wow, it was a success. Like, yeah, of course it was. It's a great lead. It's specifically a great lead. I guess when in the show they were trying to actually exacerbate the – because here's the issue. Well, you pointed this out to me. You were texting me while you were watching, and it was fucking cracking me up, your level of anger around how much screen time Chalamski was getting. And and it was you were cracking me up because it's true. Like, for whatever reason – right. Okay, so when we watch this show – not only do we want to be transported back to that time, but we're all interested in, especially when it's like glitzy and celebrity studded, you know, white collar crime, criminal behavior, especially from someone that's like a peer, right? Or like,
you know, our age.
Right. It should have been all Delvey all the time. It should have been like, if anything, because I get that they wanted, I get that Shonda wanted to have a protagonist that was actually telling the story. Because Anna herself as the like main character point of view would have been skewed in and of itself because that's her character. So I didn't mind having a second character to be the storyteller and one that was, you know, unbiased to whatever degree. But yeah, you're like, why the fuck am I at the sonogram with Chalamski? Why the fuck are we I was rewatching an episode just to get it back in the groove. It had been a couple of weeks and I was watching one last night and it was like, yo, why did we spend 8 minutes at the copy machine with Aunt, like she's just Xeroxing some shit and we're just watching her print out pictures of Anna. It's like this. And the episodes are in a very Shonda way, just a little too long. Like could have been like a cool 23 to 28 minutes each. Keep me in TV format. Like they should have just been little episodic vignettes. Like even the fact that they're doing more than one character vignette per episode is so stupid. This would have been way more fun as a 20 episode thing, but they were all 28 minutes.
Yeah. And it was humorless. It was like, this is a hilarious situation. This girl is pretending to be a Russian heiress. She's staying at these hotels. She's amassing this like band of ruffians to help her get through all her crimes. Like who's scamming who? The photo editor scams her way into going to Morocco for free and ends up paying for it. Right. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I want to see the Adam McKay version.
Yes, or the Hustlers version, which ironically, like I said, it's the same writer. And also, just another quick thing about the fact that the editors said no to the story. The fact that in real life, three people were working on this story at the same time. Vanity Fair, New York Times, and New York Mag were all reporting it out at the same time.
I wonder that's how good of a... Was the big hit the Rachel Cott piece or the Rachel Vanity Fair piece?
That was the first one I saw. I think it came out first, and then the other two that were more investigative came out. Mm. This is a great story. Like people live for this story. There's no way that people would be like, I don't know, we need Wall Street, me too.
Right.
And then the other thing is she goes to the jail before she ever even looks up if this girl has Instagram.
Oh, you're right.
And then when she finds her Instagram, she prints out all of the photos and tapes them to the wall with pieces of yarn going between them.
Right. Like she was like John Nash, beautiful mind. And they spent 8 minutes of her printing out the Instagram photos. Right. Well, I was timing. I was like, why are we here still?
Like when you are even thinking, you would never pitch a story to your editor without looking for that person's Instagram first.
1,000%. And even you could have like forwarded him. Like it would have been more effective an ask if she actually had some visuals at that time versus like in the middle of, I'm discovering that there's people I can interview. It's like, okay.
It was driving me nuts. And I was like, they should have had a reporter to consult on this piece or on this show. And they did. They had the reporter. And she was a consultant on the show. And she did an interview with the Times about it where she was like, yeah, you know, most of that would have happened. I never would have printed the stuff out. I never would have walked into the editor's office to pitch it to him, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, you need conflict and visuals because it's a TV show. And it's like, girl, you should have put your foot down a little bit more because none of this made sense.
Well, and it's like, here's what the first thing we can discuss instead of getting into the delve of the Delvey chart is like our problems with how much time they were wasting on the visuals and the conflict that were obviously just boring and made up.
Right.
I didn't add anything to the story. Like it wasn't like the reporter character when she finally had her baby was like more human. It was like, it was almost like the whole thing was just so that she could do that callback of like babies get pooped out in fields or whatever. But it's like there was no interest in her character whatsoever. The relationship issues she was having, I guess they were just trying to basically say that she became obsessed. Which is in and of itself not interesting. Of course she did. She was doing a deep dive investigation on a breaking news story about a peer.
Yeah.
It's so really funny.
Yeah. I wanted to see late 2010s glam. I think they missed an opportunity to just make a total time capsule of that moment. And I wanted to see a deep dive into Anna Delvey's head. And I thought that this sort of like faux feminist story that they gave her was a little bit BS because I think she's just, you know, a little devoid of emotion and a sociopath. Like she's a scammer.
Well, okay.
And
so it was, I have mixed feelings.
But we'll do the chart, but I think what they should have done is make her an anti-hero like Tony Soprano or Don Draper. And let us see how she justified this to herself. That's what I want to know, you know?
That's really interesting. That's actually, well, okay. So actually, if you really are interested in that, I love criminals. I love white collar crime. I think, and I'll get into it with the astrology, but she actually is really important culturally in ways that we only can understand. Either you listen to this podcast, okay, or you only understand it in the subconscious archetypal realm, okay? But it's like, I feel like, she does represent a lot of the, like, I have mixed feelings about her character, especially after looking at her chart, because, well, and actually it is a testament to the show not being that good, because the show should have answered the question definitively whether or not she's a sociopath, which it didn't. It actually did make her kind of like a feminist hero. I left loving her and being like, yeah, I stan her. But then I was curious. So after the show, I deep dove. Like I watched every single Anna Delvey actual interview afterwards. And what's interesting is like, okay, so her opinion does kind of change as she ages. But for the most part, her statement on it is like, I would maybe do it differently is sort of where she's at now. But she's like, I don't regret it all. And I don't believe it's fraud. And so that my first question is like, what is it? Like, how do we identify a scam? What is a scam literally?
I think a scam is when you separate someone from their money and don't provide a service of equivalent value in exchange. So she was getting money off of people and pretending she was going to build this center.
It
was
a foundation.
Yeah, it was never going to happen. And she's still pretending that that was her goal. No. What did running up a $60,000 hotel bill in Morocco have to do with that?
Right.
No.
Well, right. It's like, well, and they do sort of show that in the show where there is like sort of a convenient, like they show that like she's in the fight with her ex-boyfriend who also is a real guy. He's this, he was a 40 something guy with a sleep app. Same kind of thing. It was like they were trolling him. But in this show, they made him like her age and he was actually cute. I don't know, whatever. But so, she seems to be pretty remorseless. And what she says is like, no, yeah, I am going to build my business. But actually, at the beginning of the show, that's one of the things that she's upset about, where she's like, I am building something. And then her boyfriend's like, what are you building? And she's like, I don't know. And it wasn't until he actually confronted her in the show about the passport that then it just like came to her. And she's like, actually, this is what I'm doing. And so that became, you did see the wheels sort of turn. It was a defensive response. But then because she was so upset, she like laid out her dream. So that was like, I think, where it came from. And then that became, I think, what she realized but she was a scammer before then too. But when she realized, oh, I do have an answer for what am I building, and this will be easy to make money for. Because in the interviews now, what she'll say is like, look, at the end of the day, the reason I don't consider it fraud is because actually, if you look at startups and you look at the way that people raise money in America, it's no different than what I'm doing, except a little bit different. But it's like, I have a different style, a more feminine style. But it's like, in general, you're not like Theranos exists because you are not delivering on something. But you start up, the whole startup economy is about promising a novel idea or a solution to a problem that really doesn't actually have to ever make money or work, but everybody investing kind of knows that that's a part of it. So she had the argument.
Yeah, but that's why investor fraud is a crime. That's why you have to have a business plan that actually makes sense, and you have to actually intend to deliver on what you're saying
but
to
I
the
think
investors.
She could argue that she could.
But she couldn't, and she didn't. She was just running up hotel bills so she didn't have to pay rent.
I love her.
Come on.
I fucking love her, man. That's my dream.
Well, she's a scammer, though.
But okay. So, I like your definition. A scammer is someone who is promising services or some kind of taking money to provide something that has equivalent value. They all agree that there's an equivalent value.
Right. Exactly. Like if I was to falsify my work timesheet somewhere, that's a scam.
Yep.
Because I'm pretending I worked hours that I didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
if you're blatantly lying, it's a scam.
Right. Lying, misleading, things like that. I think.
And this idea that she's a German billionaire or whatever is so convenient. I mean, I do think it's smart on some level. And, I liked in the show that they did do some research on her backstory. Again, way too much time watching Anna Chlumsky panic. But
yeah,
I do think it is an interesting point that like she is Russian and she was there during
No, she's German.
No, she's Russian.
She's fake Russian. Oh, she's
no,
Russian
fake
and fake German. Who fakes being German?
Well, so her story basically is what they show, which is like she was a poor person in Russia. And then, the empire collapsed, the fall of the Soviet Union or whatever was at the right time. And her family fled to Germany. They got some oligarch money. And so they got to kind of rebrand as Germans. They were not super wealthy Germans, but they did have like a nicer life in Germany. And she went to German private schools. And so she was raised in Germany. But she herself is not German, and her accent is a Russian. So people are all complaining about Julia, whatever her name is, the actress that played her's accent. And I don't actually think she sounds like Anna, but I also think that Anna Delvey doesn't sound like an accent that's real either.
Yeah, I think that accent was kind of a mistake because no one knows what Anna actually sounds like, and it was distracting.
It was distracting, right. It was so – although I will say that by the end of it, I loved the accent and I actually like started doing it. I mean, I feel like when I do accents, it is usually a blend of a few sounds, you know? So I have like on a personal level, I love to do a bad accent because they're all bad accents, you know? But
yeah,
it was distracting. I have talked to a lot of people about the show and everyone's like, the accent. And then I watched an interview where Julia is talking about how she ran the accent by Anna Delvey, and Anna laughed and was like, I love it.
See, Anna is she's continuing to scam, which like,
but
I
now
guess
she's
you got
not. No, what she did was actually manifest her reality. And now she's not a scammer. She made that. And that girl, Rachel, made double what she spent from Vanity or whatever, from the Condé Nast card.
Right. So like everyone in this is on the make.
Yeah.
And Anna is now just making more money off of her scams. She's not really like maybe her scams are her work now that she's selling access to. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't think she's suddenly going to be a straight and narrow person. I think you'd have to be an idiot to invest in anything that she says she wants to do.
That is where it will be genuinely interesting to see what she does moving forward. Because for the record, while all of this was going down, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So while all of this was going down, this was her Saturn return. So that's when she was getting busted.
Oh.
And her North Node is exactly conjunct her Saturn.
So, okay. If I know one thing about Saturn return, it's that if you don't learn from the lessons, they will continue to haunt you for the rest of your life and you'll become a maladjusted version of all of your signs.
Yes. And you'll have to redo it when you're in your late 50s, like right before you're like 58 to 60, you're going to have a redo.
So her pretending that she's a girl boss for scamming people, scamming random people, not even scamming just rich people, scamming like people that didn't even have that much money sometimes, like the photo editor and all.
Well, I feel like she was the only one that was in that position, right? I mean, she paid back Neff, who's still her best friend.
Yeah, I guess. But okay, so what is her sun sign? Is it Let me guess. I can't read what these signs are. Anyway.
That's why we do need to launch Mooniversity coming soon.
Yeah. I think she is – you don't have her rising, right?
No, but I have some guesses.
Also, do we believe that we even have her correct birth time and all?
Yes.
Okay. How do we know? Is it on the jail booking? That's the only way I'll believe it.
No, but – first of all, we know that she was outed because they have her passport, you know? Also because like a lot of people that do the like she's on Astrogenius. Like there's a few websites that are fairly legitimate when it comes to like actually just like the same way that it's basically there's like Wikipedia for charts. And so if it was wrong, somebody would have probably gone in and changed it.
Gotcha. Okay. I think
And the chart that is perfectly her.
Okay. She's got to have Gemini in her big two, because we don't know her big three. And give me a hint for what the other one is.
Psychopath.
Like a
sociopath.
Aquarius. So she's Gemini and Aquarius.
Well, so we don't know. So actually, it's funny that you say that because I plugged in a bunch of different numbers to try to sort of see what I thought the time was. Oh, this was one version of it. So the houses are wrong here. I would guess actually either Capricorn, Gemini, or Leo risings would be my guesses.
Why Capricorn rising?
Because of the way here. So like, let me show you. If she's a Capricorn rising, the reason I think it is not just because of the Capricorn sign in and of itself, although it works.
Tell me why you think that characteristic wise, because the numbers is too confusing for everyone.
Because Capricorn cares a lot about status. That's what Capricorn cares about. Capricorn cares.
I know, but that's not really like I care about status of people genuinely thinking that I'm good at what I do and I deserve to be in the company of like intellectuals.
I like
fancy things because I'm a Taurus moon.
No, it's also, No. Taurus isn't necessarily fancy things. Actually, Capricorn's fancier than Taurus. Taurus is more luxurious things.
That's what I mean.
Sensuality is Taurus. People thinking that your watch is expensive is Capricorn.
Okay. But I only want people to think that I have expensive things because I earned it by working hard. And that's not what sun is.
That's a Capricorn sun. It's interesting. I have a lot of Capricorn risings in my life. I have a lot of Capricorn suns. And I'm a Capricorn moon. I also have a lot of Capricorn. I have a lot of Capricorns in my life. Okay. This is the Capricast. If you're watching and you're listening and you're a Capricorn, put it in the reviews. We're going to sing it. But it's like Capricorn rising. You know, your rising sign is sort of the school you're in. So it's not necessarily that it's like so natural to you, but it is your perception of the world. It's how you see the world. It's how the world sees you. So if your rising is in Capricorn, especially before your Saturn return, the only thing that you know that you care about is that for whatever reason, people take you seriously and you have some like perceived status and you want to maintain that status. And so you care about doing things right. And she would argue that she talks about it, and it's in the show too, where she, like, that's why there's that funny moment where she's like saying bye to Anna after she asked for the panties in the prison. And she's like, it's really nice to be VIP, Vicky or whatever, Vivian, you just have to do the work. Like, she would tell you that she was an extremely hard worker, and she would tell you that she did earn everything that she got. And you know what? To whatever degree she did. I mean, that is effort and skill that she put into to be able to scam this many people without a penny is fucking awesome.
Okay. I know that the TV character said you just have to put in the work, but I don't think the real Anna Delvey perceived what she was.
A huge amount of effort that you put in to create an entire alias for yourself, and then literally going to business meetings and like dressing the part, and like, I don't know. I think she worked hard.
I agree. She did work hard. I don't think she perceived it as work. I think she perceived it as, I am behaving this way because this is who I am. I am Anna Delvey. I deserve this money.
Yeah.
This is how rich people do it.
Right.
That's why I see her more. I think Leo Rising is closer to what it would be, because she just wanted to get the accolades and the attention and the respect without the work. She didn't think she was working. She was having the time of her life.
Yes, I agree with that.
She did not see, like, you and I, maybe because we have Capricorn in our chart, we would see that as work. We would see scamming as her craft.
Right.
But I don't think she saw it that way.
Well, to your point, when we change it,
I think it just came completely naturally to her.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yes, I agree. I think it did come completely naturally to her. And actually, when they do talk to her parents, and even if you look in like IRL, when they talk to her parents, they're like, we have no idea why she's like this. Like, we're middle class normal people, and we are so ashamed and embarrassed. Like, it's true that they didn't give a fuck when she was doing the court case, because they were like, what the fuck was she been doing? Like, it's like a different version of having like a daughter that's a junkie or something.
Yeah, I think some people have kids who are just really fucking weird and borderline sociopath. Like, she wasn't murdering people as a sociopath, but I do think she has sociopathic tendencies, because she clearly does not see money as a thing that helps people survive and that people work hard for. She sees it as something that some people have and some people don't, and it's not fair, which of course we all maybe believe that to an extent, but like, to steal it, most people feel is morally wrong, but she felt that it was owed to her. She didn't understand, like, maybe these people have kids they're putting through college. Maybe they have families to support, you know?
So this actually brings me to my next point, which is a really interesting question, which is that if we change, so I did pull up a few different versions of the chart, right? So now we're back to Leo Rising, but when we switch to midday, like, so starting around 3, her moon would be then, the moon moved that day. So either if she was born basically before 3 p.m., she would be a 29 degree Aries moon, but.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
After 3 p.m., the moon moves, and for the rest of the day, she would be a Taurus moon. So do you get the sense that she's more of a Taurus moon or an Aries moon? I mean, I think Taurus does reek of, like, just wanting luxury.
Yeah, but I also think that the luxury that we like is not necessarily going to be expensive, rich people shit. It's going to be quality.
Well, that's exactly, like, my point. Also, when I talk about status, it's like Capricorn actually is more of a money sign. That's why I do think this whole North Node and Taurus movement is going to change the way that we think and relate to values. Because, right, what Taurus cares about is a more holistic, like, what they care about is quality. What they care about is sustainability. What they care about is real.
Yeah.
What they care about. Right. Okay. So
I care about like 70% dark chocolate, right, no matter what it costs or what the brand is. You know what I mean?
Right. Like that's Taurus.
Yeah. But okay. So we don't know her rising sign is the point.
We don't know.
So tell me her sun and moon.
Okay. So, well, that's what I'm saying. So her sun is Aquarius. Her moon, if she was born earlier in the day, is in that 29 degrees Aries where it was stationed, or later in the day, it would be a very early degree Taurus. Both.
And we don't know her rising?
We don't know her rising. That's because we don't have the time.
Oh, I thought you only needed time for rising. You need it for moon too?
Well, yeah, because the moon moves fast.
Oh my God, slow down, moon.
What? Well, you can't. You just got to show up at the moon wheel every 2 weeks to just stay on rhythm.
It's too weird that she was born in 1991. What is she, 7 years old?
Whoa, don't you hate that? It's like, oh yeah, everybody's actually, yeah, fuck the video, right? You guys want to watch this? You guys want to watch me click around on astro.com? Okay. But that's 50 bucks.
So where's the Gemini in her chart?
0 degree Gemini Mars.
Okay. So the way that she deals with conflict is by being like sort of bipolar, for lack of a better term.
100%.
As in having two poles, not as in the disorder, because right. I don't like to use DSM-5 terms.
No, I
casually.
Right. You're being literal in terms of like the behavior.
Yeah. Bipole means two poles. So she has two sides to her, and that's how she deals with conflict.
And aside from dealing with conflict, the other thing that Mars sort of represents is like what turns you on, what gets you going, what fires you up, what you would fight for, what brings out the aggression in you, right? It's like the sort of penis energy, right? It's the testosterone, masculine sort of, entity, and it's the work that you do and how you do it, like, and with what energy, right? So 0 degree Gemini, not only is it about duality and multiple poles and sort of different, you know, temperatures, but it's also about story and storyline. Mm. So her being a 0 degree Mars, it's like she is deeply motivated by birthing a brand new storyline.
Wow.
And the way that she got out of what you're saying, with the way that she got out of, that's why they start the whole show with like them interviewing all the different people whose lives she had touched over the years. And they all have a different story of, where her money comes from. And that's why even like that was the reason for the John Nash, I'm seeing connections everywhere, like baby room wall in the Anna Chlumsky storyline, because it was like, look, this is Anna. The irony that actually she's Anna, but no, there's all the different names with all the different characters and all the looks. It's like every single person that has been in her life would describe her as a completely different character. That's very Mars in Gemini.
Don't you think that's sociopathic? Like, I mean, everyone has different identities they have with different people. I'm a different person when I talk to my – well, actually, I'm not a different person when I talk to my parents versus talking to you, but that's
my
family.
That's a chill. That's a bad
– yeah. It's like I'm a different person talking to maybe my boss versus talking to – you know what I mean? But not to the point where they'd be like, oh, no, she was born in the Philippines.
Right. I mean, I think if you spoke to almost anybody on planet Earth, they would give you an almost identical – but like almost like printmaking is how people would describe me. You know, I think I'm exactly myself to a fault with everybody.
Right. 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 Like she's a pathological liar.
Pathological liar.
And I just think it was natural for her. I just think the lies flew out of her mouth. I don't even think she constructed these ideas. I think she just, and that's
she's a credible
Gemini
improviser.
Yeah. Like Gemini sees, you always say like, they reflect you back to yourself. So whoever she was speaking to, she was able to perceive, at a subconscious level, who they wanted her to be and who they would like the best.
Absolutely. That's part of her genius.
Right. And then she was like, oh, I'm a big game hunter from Detroit. You know, like whatever she
now,
came up
that
with.
That would have been a scene that I would have watched over Chlumsky at the Xerox machine. I would watch Delvey from Detroit a billion times over. Her version of someone being game hunting in Detroit, like mirroring that character would be so fun to watch.
Oh my God. I want to watch a Scorsese Delvey.
Yeah.
Movie. Please. Please,
right.
Lord.
Show us, even if it's not actual blood, show us the blood.
Yes. Make some up.
Right. If you're going to do it, this is not true except for, this is true except for what's not true. If you're going to do that game anyway, yeah, give us some, I don't want the parts about the reporter's pregnancy to be the part that's actually made up.
Right.
The reporter's pregnancy, the editor is actually fabricated. It's like, really? This clickbait.
Yeah. Like, why did you fabricate the most boring parts of the story and leave out the most interesting?
It's fucking horrible. But anyway, so, and this is a question too, where it's like, what is a sociopath definitionally? Cause like, is she a sociopath is the question.
It's like, you have no empathy for people. So you just like, if I can't think of if I know any sociopaths in real life and stuff that they've done, but it's just somebody who literally cannot conceive of the fact that your feelings would be hurt.
I mean, honestly, or that Trump might be a sociopath.
Yeah, he might be, but
to exhibit any sense of like empathy or even connection with actual, even like his children are basically his like pawns.
Right. I was going to say, I think sometimes that he does identify with or have empathy with people who are in his close, close inner circle. But then it's like, no, I can't imagine him relaxing and having a beer with someone, right, which he doesn't drink anyway. My dad's always like, if he just drank, he would be a little more normal. And I'm like, yeah, that's the problem.
First of all, Maz and Paz, like we said, very, very chill. No reason to hide. Let's have a beer, right? I would also like to see Trump drunk, just like, you know, it could make some incredible news media clips, you know?
Never had a drink.
That's, no, it is a case for drinking for sure. I actually agree with Paz here. Although I don't think it would have helped, you know, but I do wish he drank.
I think if he chilled out a little bit, he might leave everyone alone. It's like Hitler being a vegetarian. It's like, all right, I feel a little bit better about the beef chili I made today.
1,000%. It's like, what wouldn't Hitler do? Eat meat. You're good.
Yeah.
100%. But right. Okay. So sorry. What did you say?
What do you think is going to happen next for her?
Well, can we go back to the chart real quick and then I will give my predictions. Okay. So, right. Okay. So a sociopath is someone who truly doesn't have like empathy for others. But I guess where it gets confusing to me is like, in order to be a good sociopath, hypothetically, you understand people.
They also like don't really have emotions of their own, I'm pretty sure. Like they will mask other people's emotions. Like if something happens to them, they can fake cry because they feel like that's what they have to do to be accepted, but like they don't actually feel sad. So sorry.
Continue. Dude, you know how I know that from the body language bodies guy. And he always, it's because he always does those Meghan Markle clips where he shows her instant reaction not being empathy. He's so into her being a sociopath.
He hates her. Jesus Enrique Rosa.
So
hello, body language bodies. I love him.
Another weird thing about Meghan Markle has been in the news today. Look at her. She actually doesn't feel empathy or bad when the person falls. Like, whatever. Like,
you know.
Micro expressions of Meghan Markle is like, no, that's a coloring book.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Micro expressions. I think he reads into it way too much. He's
100%.
He's like, you can tell from her clenching her teeth right here that she hates Harry and she wishes that she could crawl into his mother's skin. No, it's like, bro.
He literally is like showing his cards with this whole series because it is like, it is an irrational hatred and he's reading, right. It's the same thing with like coaching and astrology, whatever. Like if you don't get your own help, then you just end up projecting all, which I've done. And I apologize if you're a victim of me projecting all my shit onto you. Sometimes you got to fall in order to get back up again. It's like the contrast is the clarity, you know, but self-sabotage is in fact a spiritual because it is the ego death needed in order to evolve. Okay. So sabotage, get drunk. Anyway, so Trump.
But yeah, it's like Meghan Markle. Maybe she just feels awkward because she was on like a D-list TV show before and no one ever noticed her in her life. And now suddenly she's the most famous woman in the world. Maybe that's why she's got weird micro expressions.
Well, 100%. It's like, and she was a suitcase girl. Like she's actually, when she's knows that she's being videoed, which now she kind of knows it's all the time. She is an actor. Like for her to be aware of a camera as the first like perception, sense of perception in her, you know, especially because she has all that Leo and Libra in her chart. She gives a huge shit about how she's coming off. And so, yeah, I could see like, she's not actually not having empathy. She's in her head, maybe like like yes. she's on stage. But either way, that would technically be what he would consider sociopathic, because real empathy knows no bounds. It's a primal response thing, but it's like, whatever, who fucking knows? But yeah, he's like, the way that he, like, they could sue him, but I guess he's not that popular. But it's like, he literally is like, you could tell by the way that Megan is, and this is not a racist impression. Actually, it's an unidentifiable accent, but this is exactly what he sounds like, right? But so he's like, but basically, you could see that the way that Megan is using her left foot in a stronger manner than her right proves that Harry is abusive, physically, emotionally, and mentally. He says that they're in an abusive relationship, like, every three episodes. And it's so fucking funny, just because it's like, dude, what do you... What did your ex-wife look exactly like Megan or something? Like, what's wrong? Who is this about? So fucking awesome. Okay, but speaking of sociopaths and Anna Delvey, Donald Trump, and a body language body, let's go back to the chart. So basically, here we go. So as you can see, either Delvey is a 29-degree Aries moon or a early degree Taurus moon. My sense is Taurus, but it could be Aries just because of how truly selfish and the ability to just follow her instincts and do whatever for self-preservation would make sense for Aries moon too. So I'm on the fence about the time, but
I agree.
So, okay. Just to recap. Yeah. We have Mars in Gemini, which is trine, meaning in a very harmonious path opening relationship with her sun. Her ego, her solar energy. She's a 2-degree Aquarius sun, and she's a 22-degrees Aquarius Venus to boot, which at this point, you can see how it all kind of comes together, because it's like, okay, so she's like, oh, I know the way that I will make, this is a mature energy as far as her chart goes. Like, her ego and her Mars are both like immature, right? But this is in the third decan. This is a mature Venus, and it's a mature Aquarius Venus. And so, and it's at 22 degrees, which also, oh my God, look at that. It's at 22:44, although we don't know the exact minute. So I'll take it back. But it's like Venus in Aquarius means one of her strongest, most natural energies is that, number one, she can read the room. She can play to the group. She has a massive, like, sort of mass audience appeal, broadcast appeal. She also can blend in. Like, it's sort of what you're saying, where it's like she didn't have anything really of her own that was notable, other than that you could see the taste that she had, because she would look out and visualize the life she wants and then try to just copy those people. But that sort of is, like, I feel like Venus in Aquarius, which actually, Molly, you also have. It's like part of the, you know, what is Venus? It's what you're attracted to. It's what attracts you. It's how you make money. It's how you make love. It's how you spend money, give money, how you give love, right? So for her, you know, getting money from mimicking Jupiter in Leo, you know, when she does a character, there is an explosion of that sort of Leo attention grabbing bravado, right? So I think that this Venus in Aquarius is really interesting, because it also shows that, like, in terms of her emotionality, aside from the moon showing one part of your emotionality, the Venus really is the sort of, it's like the mushy-feely part, you know? And she and you have very intellectual feminine sides. So, like, for you, for this person, for you, if you're not in a really good conversation with the person that you're with, and you can't, like, brainstorm on ideas and, like, have big, like, visions and thoughts, it's not going to work. Like, mm-hmm. like, what you get off on is the, why can we do this for hours on end? Because we love to just, like, talk about all the possibilities and the stuff, and look out there at the people and talk about it and analyze it and come up with crazy ideas and brainstorm, right? Like, that is Venus in Aquarius, key to your heart. It's not that emotional. It's not that, you know, the way that you can all look in your chart too, like, whatever Venus is in your chart, if you want to, like, seduce somebody, or if you want to know how to get in someone's pants, or if you want to know, like, really what their love language is, it's the Venus, right? So for me, it's in Virgo. So I'm like, yeah, build me stuff, cook for me, and, you know, take care of all the logistics, drive, you know, like, all the things, organize my closet because it's fun for you, right? Your Venus and Delvey's Venus are in Aquarius. So she's like, all the people, all the ideas, all, you know, the collective conversation, looking at the larger patterns, the zoomed out patterns. That is what gets you guys off. And it's how you attract people, and it's how you attract money. kind of makes sense, right? It's why you're such a, and especially because yours is in your 12th house, you're so intuitive about broadcast and trend spotting. And because you kind of get this sense of from the other dimension, that's why you do have to meditate and you do have to do that Pisces part, because the more that you lean into that 12th house Pisces sort of nebulous subconscious area, the more viral videos you're going to accidentally find yourself making. You want jobs? We'll get you jobs. Okay.
So, okay. How come I'm not attracting as much money as she did?
Because you,
well, I guess hers is all gone now too. Well, now she's got $320,000.
She's fine and she'll be fine for life. It's because number one, you were raised with a huge amount of Catholic guilt. I would say that's like probably the first thing, you know, like we were talking earlier. I don't know if it's going to make it to the final cut, but we were talking about how, yeah, you could stand to be a little more entitled.
Yeah. If someone invited me to Morocco, I would be like, I couldn't possibly.
Right. And I'd be like, great. I get my own room, you know?
You'd be like, should I just go into the back of this white van and then we'll get there? Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Perfect.
Well, right. It's like, I'm not asking any questions, but if you're taking care of it, I'll come, you know? So, but that's my Venus, right? Right. Where I'm like, oh yeah, if you want to like facilitate this, you know, if I'm a, you want to serve me by bringing me on this trip, I mean, you know, whereas, right, you're like, well, wait a second, this doesn't like make sense, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the Venus part. And then also for you, you know, there it's very Taurus Capricorn, and your Capricorn's in your 10th house. So you do care about status, but you care that everybody knows that you walk there. That's kind of what I was trying to say earlier, that Capricorn, even if Delvey's not a Capricorn rising, Capricorn risings versus Capricorn moons versus Capricorn suns are actually three of the most distinctive placements in terms of like some signs. It's like, oh, that they have this in their chart. And you're kind of like, oh yeah, that like even like Gemini's Gemini, right? Even though, cause it's a little bit of everything. So I guess that's sort of not fair, but it's like at the end of the day, Capricorn rising is very different than a Cap. Like I'm a Capricorn moon. You're a Capricorn sun. We're both extremely Capricorn. Capricorn. But, you know, you care as the solar Capricorn about people knowing that you're the goat, not because you're the greatest of all time, but because you actually walked your way up the mountain when no one else could. Mm-hmm. That is actually part of the, I think, function of your chart. And also, it is interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next 2 years for you and money, because your Mars is in Scorpio in your eighth house. So there are actually subconscious blocks that you're actually being blissfully, like they might have been subconscious. Now they're not. Now they're conscious, but you're like being like blissfully ignorant about some of the blocks around money that you might have, or like some of the deeper things that you, you know, just journal on it. I would say just journal on it, you know? But I do think you are going to make boatloads of money. And I think that as the, when it'll be really interesting to see for you, Mal, when the North Node finally gets to, transit, but when the North Node does get to Pisces, it will be really interesting to see what kind of an actual revolutionary artist you rise into being. And I think that it's just like, you know, the nodes are interesting. And this is, okay, back to the chart too. This is all about Delvey in the end. The nodes in the chart are always showing at a given time where the collective turning points are. It's faded. It's on the elliptic. It's very, and the talk about it, you got to watch, everybody's got to watch The Changing of the Gods. And then we're going to talk about it on the Moon Yule podcast. Check it out. But it's like the nodes are always showing us where the storyline is like playing out and where there's a faded change happening, right? And it changes every 18 months. In Anna Delvey's chart, so why am I excited for your For the North Node in Pisces, I'm excited for you because you're a Pisces rising and a North Node in Pisces. So as the collective changes, your identity is going to be the direction we are all looking. Really, that's what.
When is that?
So that will be, I guess, in, I could look. I want to say like 2025.
Okay. I was hoping it would be before I have to buy all my wedding stuff. It's really expensive.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. But actually, I don't think, I mean, I think we're going to make money this year though from Space Trash Enterprises, you know?
Okay.
Oh my God. Like it's the Starship Trooper, Space Trash Trooper. Mm. But, or like whatever. What was Darth Vader's ship called?
The Death Star.
Okay. So we're like the Trash Star.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, I do think you're going to have a big year financially. I also think this week ahead and really like, till mid-March, there is money in Pisces, big time, big time, big time. If you actually are not afraid to ask and you block out a lot of the thoughts that you've been addicted to thinking that feel really true, because there is a conjunction that we're coming up on at this time currently between Jupiter and Neptune, which means that like the planet of like abundance and growth and big possibility and, you know, guru and sort of bring it to me is going to be in the sky with Neptune. So even though on some level it could just be like, it could feel like a little bit of like an alternate reality, it's kind of going to be like where everybody's delving gets to shine. And it's like, there's going to be this almost like there, an expanding, you know, a magnifying glass on the Neptunian energy, which is almost like bringing in like the modern day gods is almost how I think about it. Like it's like bringing in the characters that are actually spiritual, and it's going to be making us feel all more connected to our long-term human generational lineage, not with our DNA and our families of origin, but just like there's going to be this awareness of, wow, we are humans on Earth right now, but we actually are like long-term, always evolving souls. And we do have ancient memories. And so there's going to be this like powerful moment of, you know what? Because I actually do have certain ancient memories, and maybe you're not going to use these terms in your head, or I'll do it for you right now, but you're going to want to ask yourself like, well, out of all the characters I could play, which Delvey was the best Delvey? You know, we're going to basically have to step into like quantum leap into a timeline and a version of ourselves where the story is actually in the character that we like, not only that we want it to be, but that's actually like really natural to us. There's going to be a resistance, sort of like the block on resistance is going to come up, and there's going to be this sort of energy of flow to whatever we can imagine, because what we're imagining is actually what we're like remembering, and what we're dreaming is actually what we're calling in. And so, yeah, I do think that coming up mid-month until, you know, mid-March, late March, I would really experiment with like trying on different character versions of yourself for size, you specifically, and wherever Pisces is in your chart, fucking imagine and dream out of this world and really check your self-talk, really make sure that you're not going, yeah, but that'll never happen, or yeah, but that's a time for me, or whatever, right? Because it fucking will, and it will set us up for what long-term will bring us into the eventual, you know, renaissance, the artistic renaissance that is going to come after the plague times.
I have two suggestions based on everything you just said, not to give advice, but two things that have worked for me for the listeners, if they need it. If you have a lot of earth in your chart and you need to feel that those old ancient aliens are around, and that like all your relatives are still here, acid can help.
Okay. Wow. LOL. Not what I thought.
It does. Because if you take it, you just are like, okay, everyone's still here. Like they're still here. They're beams of light. They're with me all the time. I don't need to really be like sad about it, because literally everyone's here, you know?
First of all, I want to just say from a spiritual perspective, you are correct. This is, again, we have a case for drinking on the pod this time. We have a case for, and we're not scamming you, doing acid around death.
Right. I'm not saying I did it, because that would be illegal, but just in terms of for earth signs.
Imagine it would be helpful.
Yeah. Like you hear people say stuff like that, like they're still with you, and you're like, fuck off. But then, you know, sometimes there's some medicine for that that will make you get it.
I'll give you some homework then. I would tell you to do some acid during this Jupiter Neptune transit, because your version of the dead people are not around me is like, I can't ask for that much or whatever.
I know. Okay. So I would have to taper off my Zoloft, and I don't feel like dealing with the brain zap, so I'm not going to do that.
Maybe just a good edible then, it would be fine. But
yeah, I can't find any edibles in London. Not that I'm looking, because again, they're illegal. But if anyone knows anyone,
bring them for your wedding gift.
Don't bring them. You'll get arrested. And if anyone knows anyone, let me know, because I'll turn them into the police to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
Text me
Narcast.
Their phone number. Narcast. But anyway. The second thing I was going to say that's a little more practical is I started reading this book called Atomic Habits, and it is all about, and this is like, you know, that whole, what was it? Aquarius and Venus thing, in order for me to change any habit, I need to have all the science behind it. Yeah. I need to know why and how it works. It's going through.
That's exactly, and I got Venus in Aquarius. And that's why Anna Delvey was good at what she did, because she found out how things worked and then could just Gemini reflect it back.
Right. So the biggest thing that changed, that really changed my mind for reading this book, I'm only like a third of the way through it, and I found it through my old boss, Ryan Holiday, his podcast, The Daily Stoic. He's like a
I love
bestseller.
Ryan Holiday was your boss?
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell
kidding
you.
Kidding me?
It. Yeah, yeah. But so he recommended this book, Atomic Habits. And the thing that was so crazy about it is there's this chart in the beginning that shows if you do 1% better or 1% more each day, it goes off the charts by the end of like a month and then a year and whatever. It's like making these tiny, tiny little changes to get better. So I am doing that now, like to, if I do have a negative thought in my head,
That's great.
Ever. But it's funny because I already knew that, but for some reason reading it in a book helped, because I always tell people one thing I am really good at doing is working out and like forcing myself to do it and making a habit out of it. And I say to everybody,
gave me, that was great actually, where you were like, it's not about time or anything. It's just like sweat a little bit every day.
Right. So I already knew that. And that's what I tell everybody. Mm-hmm. Do a 5-minute class, just break a sweat and that's enough. And I'm like, why was I not able to apply that to every other thing in my life? It's so funny, but now I am because I read it. But so what you're saying, getting in touch with the ancient aliens or whatever, and just getting rid of the negative self-talk, read Atomic Habits if you've got a lot of earth in your chart like me, because it might help.
Okay. First of all, great advice. Second of all, really excited about Ryan Holiday. Third of all, I'm also a life coach, and that's actually what I do for a living. I'll be our phone call will be just the atomic habit you need. Your sun and your Mercury are on very particular star seed degrees that represent the Lyran star seed colony, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what the right word is.
Oh my God, we're going into such.
But I just want you to know that Lyran star season, if you have, I can look in your chart, but if you have early degree Capricorn in your chart, it's likely, or to mid degree, it's likely that you're a Lyran star seed if your sun or your moon are there. And Lyran star seeds are the oldest of the ancient aliens. So what you're describing, which is like the way that you literally just walked through, because you're basically describing ancient aliens are with you all the time, not dead people, because you're like, but you're always here and it never ends. It's like, dude, that's when you're in starseed shit. That was a channeled message that you got when you were on acid and repeated just now.
Yeah, like I felt like, yeah, I just felt like everyone who's ever existed is still here.
You're a Lyran. I want you to Google that afterwards and tell me next week how much you connect with this particular starseed origin story.
How do you spell Lyran?
L-Y-R-A. It's Lyra.
Why? Lyran starseed. Jesus fucking Christ.
Bro, so am I. That's how we know each other. That's why this podcast, low key, is so deep.
I know. Well, that's true. It is. People don't feel
shocked by how we beautifully waver between completely fucking dumb.
I know. It's amazing. All right. We got to. I feel like we've done all we can do with Anna Delvey.
I didn't get my big closer.
All right.
Anna Delvey. So back to the nodes, right? So Anna Delvey's north node is at 28 degrees Capricorn, conjunct her Saturn. So actually, the lesson she's learning. So for everybody, when Saturn returns in your chart, you wake up from the primordial snooze you were actually on. You were just a Tesla before you woke up. Saturn returned. Now it's your turn to drive. That's what it is.
Now you're a SpaceX.
Okay. Yeah. And we are going to have a trash star. It's going to be great. So it's basically in Anna's chart, her north node, the purpose of her iteration is actually to address the problems in the business financial systems, structures, and practices. She was meant to expose what actually is wrong with, because it's like you could make whatever case you want, but like every startup that fails is also fraud then. Like I could make that argument. So therefore, it's why Theranos could exist for so long, because it's like we don't actually believe she's going to do it, but we believe in the idea of changing the world, right? It's a place to put your money that people with money need to put their money into investments. And a lot of a way to do it that's fun is investing in small companies.
But the reason why other ones fail is not because they came, it's usually not because they came up with a completely fantastical, impossible blood test. Right. It's usually because they were like, we're going to do this same company that a million other people did before, only ours has a dog on the logo. And it's right. like,
and okay, also, well, this is just hard. I mean, not every car sharing company was Uber.
Yeah.
But yeah. point being, though, that there are problems. I mean, the whole thing is a racket. You know what I mean? Like, everything about the financial system and currency in general is going to change as a result, specifically of the miraculous synchronicity of the North Node just moving into Taurus, South Node moving into Scorpio, and the exact Pluto return of the United States, where in the chart of the United States, Pluto's in the second house, the Taurus house, the money house. And Pluto, listen to the thing Nicole and I recorded last night, who explains it in detail about really the energy of Pluto. But it's like, Pluto really is the beast that must be tamed. And if it's not simultaneously like honoring the primal powerful urges and being soothed by a goddess, you know, if left to its own devices, the tools that Pluto has us create become the weapons that Pluto has us create. And then we, you know, leads to eventual death. Weapons of mass destruction could end it all, right? And yet out of amoebas and sar seeds will come back. So it's all good. We know that, Lyrans, right? But it's like Anna Delvey, her Saturn North Node conjunction is at the exact degree of the United States Pluto return.
No way. That's crazy.
Crazy.
But I don't think it necessarily means that she's going to help us see the light in any way. I think
the fact that even her story exists, I mean, even just watching those interviews that are taken from real interviews where, you know, the lady's like, well, rich people don't pay for anything. She did expose how stupid the rich people are, can be, and how actually irresponsible and selfish, greedy the rich people are with their money.
Yeah, but she also exposed that they're at least not dumb enough to let you get away with it forever.
But actually they are. It was her friend that dimed her out.
Yeah, but it's because people want the system to stay in place. They don't want people to scam.
Yeah, but now there is – it's the same reason why like hackers end up getting hired by the FBI. Because like if you can scam – the government, which in and of itself is a scam. The system is a scam, for the record, because you're not actually giving people equal value to what the system has you paying and playing into. You know, unless every public school in America has drinking water and fucking, you know, books that are relevant and new and they don't have holes in the walls, mm-hmm. then you're not actually giving me back the taxpayers back their dollars to take care of the community. Okay. So that's my first gripe. Until Flint has clean water, I'm not really that concerned with taxes.
Oh, now she's bringing up Flint. Now I can't argue.
I love those kids. I love the Detroitians. I want to see Delvey in Detroit. Delvey, get to Detroit and do a character where you somehow have enough power to clean the water in Flint. Okay? That's my next assignment to you, scammer.
Right. That's the thing. It's like I would believe in this idea of her as like a freedom fighter if she wasn't just scamming like room
service. It's not that I think she's a freedom fighter, but I do think that she is here to do, first of all, she's here to show us how, I mean, Saturn North Node at 28 degrees Capricorn, the Pluto returning is happening as this is all coming out and she's getting paid for the scams. It's like she is here to show us a certain capitalist spirit. Not only is going to Saturn hurt her, put her in Rikers, now she's in an ICE detention center, but it's also going to be the thing that she builds her life on, which is that she actually does know how to, she is a good business person. She does know how to play with business and status. To be a scammer at the level that she was, you do have some talents and you do get how the system works, which also means that you might be the best consultant on how it actually should change if it was not possible to be scammed. It's why the hackers get big coding jobs, because actually they out-hack the system.
Right. But do you think that we're girl-bossing this a little too much? As in, do you think that if Bernie Madoff was a woman, you would be saying the same thing about him?
That's an interesting question. If Bernie Madoff was Anna Delvey...
It's the same thing.
I mean, I love Bernie.
No, you don't.
Oh, not Madoff. I was thinking Sanders.
No.
I was like, wait. I want to think about Bernie Sanders doing any other character than the character he's been doing. I'm like, he really only has the one.
I
ask you
character.
All to the no. review of the Space Drive podcast. I'm asking you all.
Once again, I'm asking you. I'm sorry. Is that Jew face if I do
it? No,
voice?
We do accents here. Okay. This is a comedy podcast.
Okay.
Once again, I am asking you to do all of the accents.
It's Vermont face, if anything. Totally.
Maplehead.
Yeah. So, okay. But don't you think if Bernie Madoff was a woman doing a Ponzi scheme in 2022, people would be like, she just did what everybody else does.
Well, I don't think it's exactly the same, but boy, oh boy, did we love watching The Wolf of Wall Street. And boy, oh boy, did he teach us a lot about the loopholes and the fraud available at high level financial marketplaces.
Yeah, but you're just describing an anti-hero.
Well, that's what she is too.
Right, but this show didn't portray her as an anti-hero. That's what I dislike right. so much
they,
about this
they
show.
Had a little bit, that's what I'm saying, right? A Tarantino Delvey, where she actually is a bit sinister. But I do understand where, this one specifically tried to really paint the picture of like, when you come from Soviet Russia and you're there for the collapse and you were dirt poor and then you moved to Germany and the girls bullied you and you realize that fashion was your way out. Then
please,
you know what
please.
I mean?
Everyone bullied everyone. We don't subscribe to that.
I mean, I don't really. But that's what they were trying to. They were trying to say, like, we don't know what it was like in Soviet Russia. Right. But whatever. The bottom line is,
did she had oligarch money?
I don't even know if it was. Yeah, I guess so. Right. So her dad was some kind of a mobster of whatever kind.
Right. So like it's just like so much sympathy for her where
right,
I'm just like
right.
dude, the girl is dead behind the eyes. She's a shark human.
I guess like I have
she
a,
is not
I,
Robin
I
Hood.
Have sympathy for it only in the way that like I mean, I've been called a scammer so many times. I sell phone calls.
Yeah, but you're providing
Absolutely.
Service.
But one might argue that the Anna Delvey Foundation like, I don't think she had the best intention. Look at her chart. She actually is a little bit soulless. That is why she can work with money in such a non-emotional way, right? Her North Node and her Saturn are at the Pluto return in the second house in the United States' chart, which is going to, no matter what, completely change the dynamics of the financial systems in this country and globally because that Pluto has not been massaged into being loving for more people than not. It has run amok with its power. That is worst case scenario for Pluto, and it's now going to have to completely transform. That's what Pluto is.
But I don't think she is a disruptor of that. I think she's a symptom of that.
Sure, but either way, this is the kind of data that adds to the collection of stories that we are building for our modern New Earth Bible, starting here with your preachers at the Spice podcast. But it's like, that's my preacher voice now. Yeah. If you want to see my preacher character, that is how I did. Okay. But so, it's not that she in and of herself is like the actual hero that we need right now in America. But what she is a story that fits into. Yeah, a symptom is great. We can go, wow, a symptom of capitalism is that, or a system of how screwed up capitalism is, or how unjust capitalism is, or how blind people with money actually do act when there's more money on the line or on the table, and how much it is about performance. Just an episode ago, we were talking about your big, wonderful earrings from H&M, but they made you look rich. It is showing us how status and facade in the end is all to whatever degree soulless bullshit.
Yeah, but we're always going to have
it. Well, right, but we're not always going to have it in a way that is completely morally bankrupt, which actually, I don't necessarily think capitalism in and of itself is morally bankrupt, but I do believe the way it is being done in the United States, you know, if we look at the Constitution, it's not like freedom and justice for some. We're lying.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's not in integrity. Capricorn needs integrity. So whether Anna was in or out of integrity in terms of what the system, had in place as the rules, gives a fuck. She actually is here to say, I'm the system, or I'm showing you the system. And I do think she becomes an important anti-hero for the culture because she is bringing us into the money conversation just in a different way.
I think she's a Lyran starseed.
She absolutely is. You've learned. Her Mercury and her Uranus and her Neptune are all at the exact degrees of LOL, your sun, my moon, and the Lyran starseed HQ in the sky.
She's a tale as old as time. Mm. There's people like this in the Bible, okay, you know?
That would be interesting. Who is like this in the Bible?
I don't know. I just made that up, but I'm sure there is.
If you know who's like that in the Bible, we'll sing the answer for everybody.
Yeah. Like, it's just, she's just a shitty person. She is creative.
She is socially brilliant. And I don't know. I think it will be interesting to see what she does next, because I do think if she's who, I think it's possible that she flips this and reverses it into an awesome career.
I think she's missing an emotional chip, and I think she's going to get a chance to flip and reverse this into an awesome career, and then she's going to scam the wrong person.
I agree.
Because, I think she's constitutionally unable to function in the world without scamming. She is not a normal person.
You know what? This is a really good follow-up to the thing that we were asking about earlier, which is like, how does the Saturn return work? Like, you have to repeat it. It's like, actually, her Saturn return, yes, it had her ending up in Rikers and now in an ICE detention center, but low-key, it's the only reason she has any money of her own. In fact, the way that she does things worked, and when she does those interviews, she goes, I do not regret anything, right? And that means she did not learn her lesson. And she will revisit this again.
Right. And is she going to have to pay restitution to the people she scammed from? How?
That's the thing. She didn't actually, when she came into money, she paid people back. It was just like, she was basically like uncut gems. Like, let me pawn this to put this money here, to put this money here, to put this money here. She was moving around a huge amount of money. And hypothetically, and in the business plan, because then she did start doing it under the guise of a business, you could 100% make the case that when the business has a profit, we will start to pay back the investors. That's how it works.
Right. But the business was similar to Magnesis, which was the Fire Festival guy, which was also a scam.
Which I love to find out that they were living together.
Well, yeah. And he was in my co-working space with Galore and the reason why we met Ja Rule. But that's another story for another time, because I gotta go Tweepy Night Nights.
That's my what do you guys think about Delvey? What do you think about our Delvey deep delve? Do we have time for reviews or no? Not this app.
Yeah, okay.
I just think it'd be nice to sing before bed.
I also want to say, because we did not talk about Tinder Swindler. I don't really care that much about it because it depresses me. And we already talked about West Elm Caleb, and I think this is just another example of girls be wanting boyfriends, and it makes me sad. Yeah. And I think the sexual revolution sold us a fake bill of goods that women can just flirt around and blah blah blah. And it's like, these girls just like, we just gotta admit we want boyfriends. And I'm saying that when I spent my entire 20s. You know, I spent my entire 20s being like, I don't need a boyfriend, but then like mysteriously always having
one. In the end, it just comes down to love, right? People just want to feel loved and like they have somebody to tell their friends about. That's why Wes and Kalen was so big, because they were like, I want to talk about the one guy I went on a date with that one time.
Right, exactly. We all just want love, and it's very easy to scam people who are looking for love. For some reason, I have more sympathy for Delvey's victims than the Tinder Swindler's victims, because I relate more to, even though I said I would never take a free trip to Morocco, I do relate to hanging out with a rich person for an afternoon and seeing where it takes me. But
totally.
If I, you know, but like if I met and like, yeah, I'll get into the Boom Boom Room for free.
Well, that is where, but like, if you did know that Anna Delvey was a sociopath when she stayed on the guy's yacht, stealing the plane stealing the guy's yacht for a week, I thought were, as far as antiheroes go, power moves. Loved them. Loved to see those. But it does show how stupid people are and how much status and the perception of status means in how we actually... what she's showing us is social currency being a real thing.
Yes, which it is. And it always has been. And
we don't acknowledge it as a currency.
There's a way to exploit that to your benefit. And I don't mean exploit in a bad way. I mean, use it to your benefit in a way that doesn't hurt people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right. Are you finding your review?
I want to say on behalf of our last reviews, I realized the assignment was I dreamed a dream. Yeah. I realized I actually was doing one day more and I was doing the Marius Cosette verse where Marius is, I did not live until today. I also don't know why I started at such a high note.
Deep cut. It was very high.
What an insane. Yeah. So anyway, I want to just say that that wasn't a perfect I dream a dream and I would have done it in a much lower register to a different part of the song. Okay. So.
Well, we heard your falsetto, which was worth
You're right. There's going to be a lot of reviews. So yeah, I should.
Okay. Here. What song should we do? Because I kind of forgot all the songs.
What the fuck, Molly? You forgot all the songs to Les Mis?
I forget which ones we didn't do yet.
Right. Tell the people that. Just Capricorn. Fix that. Make sure they know that you're a real one. Okay. Well, how about we do, I know. While my falsetto was actually what you guys are used to hearing. Let's do God on High. Bring him home.
Okay. You do one with that. And then I have one that I'm going to do.
Fuck yeah. Okay. Let me pull up. You go first. Cause I'm pulling mine up now.
Okay, this one is by Ernie Loves Bert, and it was left on Christmas Eve, 2021.
Oh my God, shout out. That's my best friend, Haley, Leo.
Oh, Haley. I love Haley.
Oh, okay. She's the one that was, I was going to set you guys up in London. She goes to London all the time. Molly, Haley.
Oh.
This is an informal introduction. I know she's listening. And Haley, yes, we'll all hang in London. Bye.
Yes, we will. So she put a lot of really pretty emojis in it. And it's called Pure Magic, and it's 5 stars.
I
want to
make a request. Could you please sing the emojis as well?
Thank you. Yes. Sarah and Molly are pure magic. Shooting star, their dynamic personalities and insights rolled into natural humor. That comes with such ease, makes them the most fun to listen to. I never want to listen to any celeb gossip without an astrology spin again. Sarah and Molly, you guys are stars. Star emoji, purple heart, keep rocking on.
Oh my God. What a funny moment for me when I realized you were doing 24601.
Go on.
And you know what's funny too? Actually, I shouldn't have shamed you earlier. That was my own shit because I was thinking we should do 24601. And then I was like, how does it go again? But you're right. Yeah. Haley loves the pod. Thank you for that review.
Yeah.
So fucking
thanks for listening.
That is so fucking. I love that we both also are learning about ourselves that when it comes to doing these reviews, for whatever reason, you really veer toward the gravelly deep voice, and I really want to go high, and I don't really know why. It's just so fun to learn in front of you all about ourselves.
I have an alto. That's my voice type.
Okay, you're an alto. I'm an alto.
But you're soprano.
Well, that's because I'm doing good. I always even thought like the truth is because I actually technically have a good voice, but I don't really know what Sarah's voice is. I just do good impressions of people's voices.
Mm.
You know, I'm Anna. Who is the real Sarah?
Yeah, my voice is the one in I'm a Horse Girl, Bitch.
Okay, now that is platinum good. Her hair is not platinum, but her singing is. Her records are. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this one is, Bring Him Home by the next one here is from Late Dog. Thank you, Late Dog. November 18th, my dad's birthday, 2021. This is Bring Him Home. Okay. Titled Hilarious, so unique. I love any of these two creators' content. Really interesting and unique perspectives like I've never heard. I really love and appreciate their work. No, I gotta belt it. Fuck it.
No, I like
really yes. Cool job, found y'all. much love, much love. 5 stars. Raw. That was from Mateo.
That was really good. Was that from Richard?
That was from Richard. Yeah, Richard. Thanks, Richard. We appreciate your listenership.
The artist formerly known as Richard.
That's right.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts, and we will sing your review. Somehow this new segment has not brought the reviews rolling in.
You know why? It's because everybody is so insecure about their singing voices.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.